The scripture reading 139 from the book of Psalms. The word of the Lord. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my laying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day. For darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. O that you would slay the wicked, O God! O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against me with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Thus far the reading of God's word. Friends, God is present. Everywhere present. But do you live today, tomorrow, throughout this week, with this reality, the ever presence of the Lord? What I mean is not a doctoral or doctrinal reference point in your life, but your life is lived with this living realization, the Lord is present. He is near. Jonathan Edwards remarked in one of his first sermons in Northampton, 1727, on this Psalm 139. And he said, if it be so that God is present everywhere, let us be exhorted to walk with God. Let us endeavor to know God and to get more acquainted with him. So for Edwards, the everywhere presence of the Lord, the divine omnipresence, was a deep reality in his life. A reality he lived with and he lived for. If it be so that the Lord is present everywhere,
that is to live, that he is everywhere present in my life. Now, theologians speak of the divine omnipresence, one of the incommunicable attributes of God, one of the characteristics, one of the qualities of God, and qualities possessed by God alone. And the communicable attributes are possessed by God and us, such as knowledge of love, of wisdom, of mercy. But the incommunicable attributes belong to the Lord and him alone. His omniscience, the all-knowing God. His omnipotence, the all-powerful God. And also his omnipresence, that God is present everywhere. In fact, friends, these three incommunicable attributes are mentioned in this psalm that we have read together, Psalm 139. And the verses 1 to 6 speaks of God's omniscience. The verses 13 to 18 of God's omnipotence. But at the center of these verses, in particular, I think, is the trust of this psalm. The verses 7 to 12 speaks of God's omnipresence. We are surrounded by the Lord's presence. And therefore, with the help of the Lord, I want to meditate briefly with you on this Psalm 139, but particularly about God's faithful presence in your life. And not a doctrine that we just confess, but a teaching to live by. Also for this new week. A deep sense, a deep reality. And therefore God's faithful presence in this psalm is in the first place a sure reality. A sure reality in the first place. The Lord is everywhere present. His presence, the psalmist says, is everywhere because he is the all-knowing God. Verse 1 to 6, that speaks of God's omniscience. You know, he says to the Lord, my sitting down, my uprising, my thoughts, my path, my laying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. You know it all together. The Lord knows everything, knows you, your thoughts, your ways in life. The cares and concerns that you have brought into church this night. Maybe the ups and downs in life. He is fully acquainted with it. It is that David says here, from the outside, that I am at home or travel, or that I am awake or sleep. Or from the inside, my thoughts, my life. You, Lord, know it all together. Is that a comfort to you? Is that a comfort for you? Or is it something, young people, that you like to escape from? You don't want to think about, to live with this reality that the Lord is omniscient, the all-knowing God who is present everywhere, surrounds you, knows you better than we know ourselves. But the psalmist also speaks that the Lord is present everywhere because he is the all-powerful God, divine omnipotence, the verses 13 to 18 in particular, and particularly in the time in which we live right now, just before the midterm election. For you, says the psalmist, you did form my inward parts, you did cover me in my mother's womb, I will give thanks for you, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Is the all-powerful God. And one of the most powerful displays of God's omnipotence happens in secret. Verse 15. David contemplates on his own creation, development as a pre-born child. He acknowledges that it was the Lord that formed his organs. He reflects upon how his maker knitted him together, how the Lord embroidered him like an ornate rug, how the Creator saw his undeveloped form. How amazing
this all-powerful God is. And modern technology, amazing as it is, has yet to create, even now, a complete transparent view of the womb. We get some glimpses of sonograms and multidimensional ultrasound, but for the most part, the remarkable development of an unborn child is unseen, except by God. Friends, that is at stake with Proposal 3 on the ballot. The psalmist attests in wonder, body and soul. My whole life is in your book. All my members were written, meaning my whole life is ordained for me by the Lord. Discomfort, my life is in his plan. Young people, I'm here on earth for a reason. But also, the Lord is in control. Yes, even in times I don't see it. In times that there is a lot of anxiety also among our young people. We worry, uncertain about the future. But from the moment of birth to the moment of dying, discomfort, God is in control. And therefore the church of all ages have always maintained to be against abortion and euthanasia. The beginning and the end are in God's hands. And everything in between. This all-powerful God sustains and upholds. God is everywhere present by his knowledge and by his power. It is an inescapable, an unavoidable fact, a sure fact that the Lord surrounds you with his presence. And that's what David the psalmist attests in particular in the verses 7 to 12, the trust of this psalm. And here the psalmist asks questions. Yes, young people, you can ask the Lord questions. You can challenge him. Where do I go? Where do I go? From thy spirit? Where do I flee from your presence? Where shall I go? Where shall I flee? But he cannot escape God's presence. He is everywhere present. Fleeing from his presence, in the original languages, fleeing from his face. It is impossible to be out of the Lord's sight, the Lord's presence. The psalmist raises even possibilities, huh? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, in the grave, behold, you are there. If I take wings in the morning, I dwell to the uttermost part of the sea, even there, your hand shall lead me. And your right hand shall uphold. His presence is there. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me. We have sung it together. But the night and the days are both like unto him. The psalmist looked to different options of if. In height, ascended to heaven. In depth, the grave. From east to west, take the wings of the morning. The sun rises in the east. And dwell to the uttermost part of the sea. The sea was the west side of the land of Canaan. But with all those ifs, he concludes, you are there. The Lord is present everywhere, on high, in the depth, east to west, and I cannot flee out of his presence. Wherever I go, God is there. He surrounds us with his presence. Friends, this might be a well-known psalm, but it is now a reality in your life, in my life. Not only learned in catechism class or Sunday school, not only confessed as a biblical doctrine,
with an experiential reality each morning when you awake. You are there. Each day that is given to you, you are there. Going through the day, and sometimes it can be challenging. Be honest tonight. You are there. Living with this living reality, the Lord is here, He is there, He is near. He is a real presence, a sure presence in my life. A comfort as it might be, it is also a solemn reminder in the second place, because this inescapable and sure reality that the Lord is everywhere present, when we realize in all that we do and say and not do, when we realize what the psalmist says in verse 5, you have beset me and hem me before me, and behind me you lay your hand upon me. By nature, we don't like that. We want to be so called, we want to be free. And we think that sometimes we can go through life without the Lord. Oh yes, in time of need. Yeah, then we need Him. But just the thought, and remind yourself this week, just the thought that in all that we say, every word that comes out of my mouth, verse 4, there is not a word in my tongue, but you, Lord, you know. Just a reminder of this week that in all what I do, and maybe people around us don't know, maybe your secret life, however and whatever that takes place, but the Lord knows. Just the thought in all my ways in life, at home, at work, travel to places, but the Lord is there, present wherever I am, wherever I go, He is there. Young people, does that frighten you? Does that give you to pause for a moment? Do you try to flee from Him? Maybe outwardly you come to church, Bible reading, prayers, but inwardly, really no need of Him. Or not agreeing with the ways and His word in your life. Where shall I flee from your presence? The same words I used for Jonah the prophet, was called to minister in Nineveh. And Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. That is just possible, even for God's people. Trying to live out of the presence of the Lord. To live a life like we choose what is deemed good to us, instead of what pleases the Lord. Kind of self-determining instead of seeking the Lord's will. You want to be free. And yet maybe here are tonight is maybe one, the cry of your heart that you need guidance in your life. That you need to be upheld in your life. Maybe there are among us that because of the circumstances of life, you're long in all your ways and wanderings of life. Even there your hand, Lord, shall lead me. And your right hand, oh, I need it. Your right hand shall hold me. The cry of the heart for the Lord's leading and the Lord's holding. It's needful. Maybe you resist His leading and holding, but certainly by nature. Well, He offers peace and pardon Sunday after Sunday from this pulpit. When the gospel is proclaimed, while He reaches out His upholding hand, His caring hand, His providing hand, His guiding hand. One last point before I move on. Our sin and doing sin. And be honest between your soul and the Lord tonight. Oh Lord, you know it all together.
Wherever I go, you are there. Yes, also when I sin. In thought, in word, in deed. I don't have to elaborate. The Lord knows, and you know it as well. The Lord's presence is everywhere in your and my life. What a warning, but do you begin to see the prayer of the psalmist? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And yet, as I live, says the Lord, this all-knowing and ever-present Jehovah, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, in the death of a sinner, but that the wicked turns from his ways and live. Turn and turn from your evil ways. If you sin, why would you die, O house of Israel? Why? Why do you want to live outside his gracious, his caring, his merciful, his forgiving presence? And therefore, in the third and last point, a sanctifying comfort, pure reality, a solemn warning, third part, a sanctifying comfort. Eh? You can ask, when you read this psalm, what we did together, when David considered the omniscience of God, that the Lord knows his whole life, wherever he goes, whatever he says, and yet we hear David say, in awe and wonder, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is height, I cannot attain it. Why is the psalmist, when he sees God's omnipotence, this all-powerful God that formed and sustains it and upholds him, and he sings in praise? How precious are your thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Why can David speak about the everywhere presence of the Lord? That it is to him, that it likes that the light breaks through the darkness. Why can he sing that? Or let me make it more personal. Why are those times that you can sing of it? And this sanctifying comfort in your life, that the Lord is everywhere present. Friends, this is not because of Christ. Where in the Garden of Gethsemane, he began to be sorrowful, he began to experience what God's judicial wrath was about. No presence felt. No Father. No communion for the first time in all eternity. A darkness hidden from him. And the presence of his wrath. That wrath that was just to be feared against sin, the sins of all his people. Your sin. When Christ experienced a great agony of divine absence, divine forsakenness, no nearness, no presence of his Father. Why? So that you may experience his presence now, as the light breaks through your darkness of sin, of anxiety, of worries, of your cares and concerns that you have brought into church this night. Is it not because of Christ who cried out of the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from me, from helping me? Not the nearness and presence of his Father, far off, a distance, not to be bridged. Why? What we deserved rightly because of our sin, it is in Christ who took the wrath of God in the darkest hour, no light, forsaken, so that you might experience his presence forever. Oh, friends, take refuge
in Christ, who has promised, so well meant, so gracious, also this evening, for this new week, and he promises, I am with you, I am present, even till the end of the world. And he said it to people who worshipped him, yes, but also some of his children who had doubts. His presence. You begin to understand one of the psalmists, in doubt and temptation, I rest, Lord, in thee. Because of Christ, near to my Savior, most blessed am I. Let me ask then, what is then your loneliness, or being alone, or feeling at times alone and not understood, compared with the loneliness of Christ, being forsaken by his Father? This living Christ, who intercedes even now for each of his children, prays, and I am with you. With me. Do you see the wonder of grace? Always, wherever you live, which way the Lord has in life with you. What an encouragement, what a comfort, even in times of difficult circumstances. But living with this reality of the living Christ, who sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes and continues to pray for each of his children, even now, this resurrected and risen Christ, who is ever present and near. That is the gospel tonight, friends. Because if Christ was not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. But to live with this reality of the risen and living Christ, this interceding Christ, so that you, through the work of his Spirit, of undeserved grace, may say, in your presence, O Lord, is fullness of joy. And as for me, I will behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied when I awake. Try to remember tomorrow morning, satisfied. Rest. Peace. Because you are in his presence. Experience his presence through his word when he speaks to you, through the sacraments when he invites you. Do this in remembrance of me. Is it not worth, through his providence in life, as for me, what Christ has done and still does, so that you can echo the words of Horatius Bonar, not what I feel or do, can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers and sighs and tears can bear my awful load. Thy works, O Lord, O Christ, thy presence can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. So that you seek to be in his presence. For Christ's sake, your face, Lord, I will seek. In his presence, now and forever. Because if you don't want to be in his presence, if you don't want to live in the presence of this willing Savior, have no need of him, one day you will cry out, but in agony, when you see his face, you will cry out, you will say to the mountains and rocks, fallen us and hide us from the face that sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. But what a comfort. What a comfort for each of God's children is this doctrine, this teaching of God's presence, his omnipresence. Does not offer consolation and comfort, whatever situation and difficulty you are in, the Lord is with you. He is present. With all your cares and concerns, He is near, so that you cast it on Him. Maybe storms in life, but with Jesus on board, He is near. In times of spiritual darkness, He, who is the light of the world, is near. In prayer, He is present to hear your prayer. Even the silent petitions and the cries of the heart, heard by Him, because He is present, He is near. If there is a loss of loved ones, loss of friends, He is near. You cannot be bereaved of that friend. Christ is more than all. If you have challenges in business or in your marriage or in school or in college or at home, and you need direction in life, consider this everywhere present God. Your hand leads me, and your right hand upholds me. And when death comes, He is there. Nothing shall separate you from the love of Christ. Consider when you have by grace experienced His presence and nearness on earth. And maybe there are longings in your life to be in His presence forevermore. But what will it be then forever to be in His presence? And therefore the Lord is at hand. He is near you. He has a fiery wall around you, your family, your children. He protects and guards you. And if something happened to you, seek refuge in Him. Encourage yourself with His presence. To revive David's soul, huh? Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For, and that is the reason, for you, Lord, are with me. That is what the Lord gives to His children. Comfort His children with His ever-present promise. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow. Yeah, by times it seems they overwhelm you. But when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Today it is the fall of 2022 in Kalamazoo, Michigan, not 1727 in Northampton. And yet I think those words remain the same. Eh? If it be so that the Lord is present everywhere, let us be encouraged to walk with the Lord, to keep close to Him and not depart from Him. Let us endeavor to know the Lord and get acquainted and more acquainted with Him. Let us seek union and communion, His friendship and favor, that we may walk with Him as a friend with a friend. And let us continually seek the Lord's gracious presence. Seek Him. Consult Him in all that pertains to your life and commit your way to Him, that He may direct your life. And let us always live. Let us always live by grace in the sight of the Lord, fleeing from sin, pursuing all good, be more Christ-like, so that after we have walked with the Lord here, He may take you and dwell with Him forever in His glorious presence, for Christ's sake.